What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Churchosity Podcast. If you're looking for a place to have fun and edifying conversations about church culture, then you have landed in the right spot. My name is Heath Brady.
And I'm Andrea Brady.
And we are your Churchosity Podcast personnel. Coming at ya.
Coming at you one more time.
One more time. You know, we've been on a really good roll here.
We have, yeah.
Since the new year.
I know.
I kind of feel like we have a lot more accountability to make sure that we put out content too.
Yeah.
A lot more listeners and Patreons and all the things.
Mm-hmm. And our new website.
And we have bonus content. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, we do.
We are busy.
It's been fun.
Yes, it has. It's almost been like a full-time job.
Almost.
Almost, yeah.
It's quite the hobby.
Yes, it is. So, Andy, my love.
Yeah?
How are you doing today?
I'm excited to talk about everyone's favorite subject.
Oh, good grief.
Psych. Well, we're wrapping up our grief episode.
Yes.
You know, I'm just a little lighthearted sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, like Bender said on The Breakfast Club, tension breaker had to be done.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the tension breaker.
You are the fun meister. Well, as you said, we are going to be finishing up our conversation about grief on this episode. Mm-hmm. But before we dive into that conversation, we want to remind all of you to give us a rating and leave us a review, because your ratings and reviews not only help popularize Churchosity Podcast, but also make us a heck of a lot easier for other people to find us. And we also want to encourage all of you to check out our website. Churchosity.com is the home for all things Churchosity. Give it a gander, hang out for a while, and enjoy. All right.
All right.
So, are we ready to have a serious conversation?
Yeah.
So, Andy, on our last episode, we started this conversation about grief.
Mm-hmm.
And you listed off some of the experts' opinions.
Right.
As to the what are called the five stages of grief.
Exactly.
Would you kindly remind our lovely listeners what those five stages were?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I also made a disclaimer that we're not professionals. I mean, we're professional podcasters.
We are not licensed practitioners for anything involved in the medical industry or field.
Right.
We are not psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
That is our disclaimer.
Yes. And also, now navigating through the five stages of grief, sometimes it's not a linear process. You can flip back and forth through some of the stages. But for the most part, these seem to be universal things that most people experience while dealing with and healing from grief. The first one would be denial. The second one would be anger. The third one is bargaining. Number four is depression. And number five is acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that those five are pretty common.
Yeah.
On our last episode, we unpacked the first three.
Mm-hmm.
And what were some of the highlights about what we said about denial?
Denial.
You were the denialer?
Yeah, I was the denialer. That I flip back and forth between being in denial and bargaining.
Right.
Because I think for me, they go hand in hand.
Like the denial stage is like, you can't believe that this is happening, or this mm-hmm. isn't really happening, or I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah, like it's a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for me, you know, when I'm in denial, I start bargaining with God and asking him to change things and reverse things, or trying to make deals with him. Like if you fix this for me, then I'll do this or that.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And then there was the anger stage, which mm-hmm. is pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
I think I jokingly mentioned that we could do a whole episode on anger all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we expressly stated that while on the one hand there is nothing wrong with experiencing anger in your grief. Scripture is very clear that we are to be angry and yet not sin.
Right.
It's what we do with the anger that either helps or hurts our grieving process and ultimately our relationship with the Lord and others.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really great conversation. And on this episode, we are going to cover the last two, which are depression and acceptance.
Mm.
And I want to preface our conversation by saying that, you know, we may have a little or a lot to say about depression and anxiety, but our desire is not to encourage this culture of victimhood. Just like with church hurt and spiritual abuse, when we talked about how our goal in talking through those conversations was for people to be able to see what it is that they're going through and that it's okay that they're going through it, but that ultimately that they would find healing and restoration from it.
Right.
So all of that to say, I want to publicly acknowledge the reality of depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, in our culture, in our churches, in our families, in our relationships, depression is a real thing. And the reason why I want to so heavily emphasize that is because I know as a Gen Xer, I've been around the block a few times. And there was a period of time in church culture, specifically like in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
where if anybody, the majority of the times that somebody would bring up depression in their life, like they were experiencing depression or they were feeling depressed about mm-hmm. something, that it was labeled as, that's all in your head. It's a spiritual thing. Maybe the reason why you're feeling what you're feeling isn't actually depression. It's remorse over some unconfessed sin in your life. Like there was this whole aspect of attributing depression to victim blaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like the person who's experiencing the depression is actually the one that's at fault for something. And it's between them and God.
And that was your experience?
That was my experience in church culture.
Mm.
It was very predominant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a period of my life where I'm in my 20s and going into my early 30s that was very influential on my personal walk with Jesus and my experience in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this old adage that guilt by association, that you become like the people that you associate with.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a ministry position, especially in a church that is condemning even the mere concept of depression, then you end up kind of adopting that ideology.
Mm.
Well, that was also my experience.
Oh dear.
And so as a ministry leader, as a pastor, I had to really, really wrestle with that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, there are plenty of verses in the Bible that tell us not to be anxious about anything. That we're to trust Jesus with everything that is negative or negatively impacting our lives, and that he will give us peace that transcends understanding. But as we discussed on our last episode, there are also a myriad of scriptures that speak to the reality of depression.
Mm-hmm.
That there are things in this life that make us depressed.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm here to say that I am no longer that guy and haven't been that guy for a long time, and that I personally just want to say that depression and anxiety are real and they're a part of life's journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everything goes our way. And when things don't go our way, there's a processing of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was having coffee with a close friend recently talking about this whole concept of grief and depression and anxiety, and she said something that was really mind-blowing. Like, it kind of made this whole conversation about grief and depression and anxiety's relationship to grief just make total complete sense to me. She said that depression is the condition that a person is in. And grief, or what someone is grieving, are the symptoms of it. So just like someone wakes up in the morning and they got a scratchy throat and their nose is stuffed and they're running a fever, those are all symptoms of a condition known as the flu. So if you are experiencing grief or grieving things that break you down emotionally, like death of a relative, separation of a relationship, loss of a ministry, whatever it might be, those are symptoms that of grief that contribute to your depression. And all of that is normal, and all of that is okay. But what we want to talk about is how depression, being a part of the grieving process, is something that not only is normal and not only something that we experience, but how God can turn that around and be glorified through it. Because that's part of the healing process. We want to live lives that are pleasing to God. And when we're in that dark cloud, experiencing depression through our grief, that's a real experience. And I dare say that God doesn't want us to stay in that.
No.
That he wants us to heal and lean on him. Doesn't mean that we're bad for being depressed.
Right. I mean, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything.
Yes. That is very, very true. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance," etc. And I'm glad that you mentioned that verse, Andy, because notice, those are like comparisons of two polar opposite things.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a time to weep. And there's a time to break down, and there's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to laugh,
yes,
and a time to build up, and a time to dance. So please don't hear either one of us say that we expect, especially Christians, to stay in their depression state, because there is a time for dancing. There is a time for rejoicing. There is a time for building things up again. I just want it to go the extra mile and acknowledge that depression is very, very real. Anxiety is very, very real. And that you should not ever feel condemned for experiencing it.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
That's good.
What are your thoughts on the whole concept of depression, Andy?
Oh, I know for myself, when I've been depressed, I lean heavily on the Psalms, because I identify so much with David and, you know, how he struggled with being in the depths of Sheol.
Right.
And he was brokenhearted, and, you know, so like Psalm 34 is one of my favorites. Psalm 34, 18, where it says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I know that sometimes when you're going through depression and you're wondering why God is allowing these kinds of things to happen, I know that I belong to him. And I know ultimately everything that happens to me in life should draw me closer to the Lord.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily make me happy, but on the flip side, coming out of depression and then looking back, I'd like to say that I've grown through the process and that I'm closer to the Lord because of it.
Amen.
So when I'm in the depths of Sheol and I'm praying to God, I'm remembering that and thanking him despite my not understanding why, and at least thanking him that I belong to him, mm-hmm. you know, holding on to the promises of Scripture, the things that we can cling to, the things that, the truths that we know are some of the things that I hold on to when I'm dealing with the unknown.
Sure. Like when Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer and he thanks the Father for the ones that he has given to him and that nothing can snatch them out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or like in Romans 8:28, that we know that all things, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Right.
That includes our state of depression.
Yeah.
That he causes that to work together for our good if we're called by him according to his purpose.
And sometimes it's hard to hear that in the moment.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of prayers and David and the Psalms.
Yeah.
I've kind of had this pocket verse, or verses, I should say, that I've been recalling lately.
Mm.
Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5.
Hmm.
One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And I just, when I think of that, those verses, I just picture the Lord coming alongside me in my moments of despair and downheartedness, and like putting his arm around me and covering me up and sheltering me so that nothing else can hurt me.
Right.
But he doesn't necessarily remove the downhearted experience. He comforts, conceals, and shelters through it,
mm-hmm.
so that he can lift us up. And I love that. I just, that's a beautiful picture that those verses give me about the Lord's compassion and grace and mercy and loving kindness towards us,
mm-hmm.
when we're going through what we're going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mentioned on our last episode that there are two specific, there's a lot of examples in Scripture that talk about grief, but there are two specific ones that come to mind when I think about Jesus himself experiencing grief.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I mentioned on our last episode in John 11 with the death and resurrection of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one I saved for this one,
mm.
because it's even more intense and very eye-opening for us. And that's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he's arrested.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So check this out. Okay. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them, that's the disciples, to a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed.
Hmm.
Excuse me? Jesus, the Savior of humankind, was grieved and distressed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but let's keep going. Verse 38. Then he said to them, this is Peter, James, and John, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed. But you talk about the stages of grief, one of them being bargaining.
Yes, exactly.
Here's Jesus praying to his heavenly Father. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me."
Wow.
But then stage five, acceptance. "Yet not as I will, but as you will."
Mm.
And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That phrase speaks to so many things in the Christian experience. In the context of depression, the spirit is willing, to not be depressed, but the flesh, this fleshly human experience of ours, mm-hmm. is so weak. Mm. Verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is that there is a medical condition that Jesus was literally experiencing while he was deeply grieved to the point of death. While he was praying to his heavenly Father, he was so distressed that he was literally sweating drops of blood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a real medical condition.
Right. That's found in Luke 22:44.
Correct. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It makes it abundantly clear that Jesus, as the scripture says, experienced everything that we experience.
Right.
Like, his soul was deeply grieved to the point of death, and he was bargaining with the Heavenly Father to take the burden away. Mm-hmm. In our vernacular, Daddy, Papa, if there's any other way that we can do what it is that we've set out to do, I am all ears. I'm mm-hmm. listening. But then the acceptance of what the Lord's will is for him, he says, but not my will be done, but yours.
Right.
So it's encouraging to me, and I hope that it's encouraging to all of you who are listening, knowing that my Savior, my Lord, experienced literally the things that we experience mm-hmm. on this side of eternity. Deep grief, even to the point of death.
Wow.
It's intense when you mm-hmm. think about it. And I think that a lot of times we as Christians really stumble in the area of understanding, or let alone accepting, that Christ, while he was 100% God, was also 100% human. And we struggle with accepting and understanding Christ's humanity so many times. But this man, this son of man named Jesus Christ, had physical experiences like you and I experience, emotional experiences. And here in Matthew 26, it is very descriptive. And in Luke 22, it is very descriptive on everything that Jesus was experiencing in this particular moment. Even though it was a fulfillment of his Father's plan for the redemption of humanity, even though, as it says in Hebrews 12, that Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him, he considered it joy to lay down his life. Here in this moment, he was grieving about it. So be encouraged by that, ladies and gentlemen, that your Lord and Savior experienced grief and depression and distress. David, the man after God's own heart, experienced grief and depression and distress. Like, it's a real thing.
One of the things that we like to remind everyone of is to try and have compassion for yourself and to give yourself grace during this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe your depression is lasting longer than you think it should.
True.
Maybe you're angry with God. But like we say, you know, lean heavily on the scriptures and be honest with the Lord in prayer. You should also remember to seek comfort and friendship and help with other Christians. Lean on your Christian community, because having support from someone else to come alongside you and walk with you in your struggles, that's invaluable.
Yes. I'm glad that you mentioned being in the midst of the Christian community, mm-hmm. because let's flip the script for a second and talk about those of us in the Christian community that see or know of a brother or sister in Christ who is experiencing grief, specifically depression.
Right.
Well, Romans 12:15, the Apostle Paul is pretty clear. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Bear one another's burdens, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, iron sharpening iron isn't just for the sole purpose of helping to make someone more like Jesus in their theology and doctrine and church attendance.
And tithing.
No. Discipleship also very much involves bearing burdens with your brother or sister.
Mm.
Because in all honesty, who else do we have to lean on that's better equipped or better acquainted with our human experience than other Christians in our community?
Mm-hmm.
So, brother or sister, if someone close to you, someone that you know is going through this, you almost have a responsibility to reach out to that person, to come alongside that person, even if it's just to make yourself available and say, hey, I know you're going through it, I'm here. And then actually follow through with that.
Right.
Because then, you know, and this might be part of the denial stage, though, when someone reaches out to us and says, hey, I'm here to help, what do we in our culture have a tendency to do with that?
Withdraw.
Say, no, I'm good.
Yeah, we're fine.
I'm good.
No, thanks.
Yeah, that's part of that denial, right? That responsibility of coming out of the denial stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibility of us coming alongside those in our community who are going through it, they go hand in hand.
Right.
And just think about how God is glorified in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a serious aspect of discipleship. That you weep with those who weep. That you bear one another's burdens.
Mm.
So it's powerful stuff.
It is.
And it's, I know that in certain circles in church culture, the mere words depression or anxiety are taboo.
True.
But they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because if Jesus experienced them, if King David experienced them, it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the Christian human experience. That speaks very well into stage 5 of grief, which is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the last stage. It kind of feels like it's the last stage, but maybe it's the first stage. Maybe you're someone who is so accustomed to grief that you just accept it right out of the gate that I'm grieving.
Mm.
You know? But Andy,
yes.
What are your like initial thoughts about the stage of acceptance in our grieving process?
Well, it's kind of when people come to terms with the reality of their loss and accept the new normal.
Mm.
Like a willingness to move forward, and that your grief has now become a part of your life story.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can look back and see how you've navigated your grief, and that hopefully you are closer to the Lord. And you can now maybe go forth and help someone else in the future who might be going through something similar to what you experienced.
Right.
I think it's important to, at this stage, make sure you thank the Lord for his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you'll be able to experience a deeper understanding of his love for you.
I think that something that can help us achieve the acceptance stage is remembering that not only is grief to be expected, not only is grief part of the human experience, not only are we encouraged to grieve, but that God knows our griefs.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees our griefs, and he doesn't condemn you for grief either. He doesn't turn us away when we're grieving. I think of Psalm 22, verse 24, that says, "For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. I think that's just a beautiful promise. Like, even if I have to sit and go through these waves of depression, these waves of grief, these stages of grief, the Lord is not despised with me. The Lord does not despise my affliction. The Lord is not hiding his face from me. The Lord hears me when I cry. And I love that.
Me too.
You know, probably one of the greatest things about God's character that I certainly appreciate is how he never leaves us or forsakes us.
Amen.
Especially when we're in the midst of grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Also think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. And those verses are just an incredible, they give me such an incredible sense of validation, not only for the grieving process, but that Jesus grieved, and that because Jesus grieved and gave us and gives us comfort, and because we grieve and God gives us comfort, we can comfort those who are grieving also. And I think that with the combination of knowing that the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us,
mm-hmm.
and also knowing that our Christian community will surround us and comfort us and go through it with us,
mm-hmm.
that those two things especially would greatly contribute to the stage of acceptance. Knowing that God still got us and knowing that our community is surrounding us, I would think makes it easier for accepting the grief.
I would think so too.
Andy, I think to summarize this conversation about grief, for any one of us that are experiencing grief right now, whichever stage you're in, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, or acceptance, be confident that God has got you and he's not rejecting you. Be confident that you have a community of Christians, even if it's just one person.
That's true.
You have other Christian brothers or sisters around you, so you are not alone. But thirdly, and I would argue most importantly, just remember how good God is when we are grieving,
mm-hmm.
how he comes alongside us. Remember the words of Psalm 48, verse 14, that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Thank you for listening to the Churchosity Podcast. Don't forget to give us a rating and leave us a review. On our next episode, we'll be having a monumentous occasion. Yes, we'll be marking podcast recording history. Over to you, Andy.
Be sure to check out our website. That's churchosity.com. There you can find all things Churchosity. Follow us on the socials, become a Churchosity Patreon, drop us a message, and give us your feedback, because we would really love to hear from you.
And don't forget to spread the word about Churchosity Podcast by just simply telling a friend to tell a friend what we're doing here.
Yeah, let them be a part of the conversation too.
But always remember that the goal of our instruction is love.
From a pure heart.
And from a good conscience.
And a sincere faith.
So we thank each and every one of you again for listening. And we hope to catch all of you on the next episode of Churchosity Podcast. Peace.